This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God above us, God beside us, God within us, open the eyes of our hearts to be attuned to your presence at all places, at all times. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Happy Trinity Sunday. We can look from Genesis through the last verse of Revelation, and we won't find the word Trinity in the Bible. But we will find the evidence of the existence of the Trinity throughout, even in the very first chapter of Genesis. As God is creating the world, there is this mention of the Spirit of God brooding over the waters, the presence of the Holy Spirit from the beginning. In that prologue that we heard during the Christmas season to John's Gospel, we hear that Jesus, as the Word of God, was with God from the beginning of time. Scattered throughout the Bible, there is this evidence of Trinity. But it is one of what we consider to be the mysteries of the church. It's very difficult to talk about the Trinity for any length of time without getting into some sort of heretical statement. So I'll try to bridge that gap a little bit. We have in our Saturday congregation Cheryl May, who is a member of the community of St. Aidan and Hilda in Lindisfarne in Holy Island. And in that community, they have a lot of liturgical resources that Cheryl is always willing to share with me. And she sent me an email yesterday saying, it might be too late, but this is a really good thing for you to use to explain Trinity. And I opened up the enclosure in the email, and it was blank. And I thought she was making a theological joke, because it's a mystery. But it is one of those mysteries that the church has struggled with from the beginning of time, from the beginning of the church. There are two things, two doctrines that are so crucial to us as Christians, but are difficult ones. One is the incarnation, how God could become man, how we reconcile that. And then the other one is three persons in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all of the early controversies in our church had to do with those two doctrines of people disagreeing on what they meant. There are more schisms in the church over the doctrine of the Trinity than anything. Now, as is my wont to do on this day, I like to bore you to begin with, but I would ask you to open up your prayer book to page 864. Because on page 864 in the Book of Common Prayer, there is this thing called the Creed of St. Athanasius. Now, to understand this, there were two characters back in the 300s in the church representing two different ways of thinking. There was this guy by the name of Arius. And Arius was having a hard time accepting the fact that Jesus had an equality with God. He thought it somehow diminished who God was if Jesus was equal with God the Father. On the other hand, you have this guy, Athanasius, who's saying, no. We know Jesus has to be God because he told us who he was, and we know what he did, and he rose from the dead. He's got to be equal with God. And they get into this difficulty, and Arius ends up being the one, the first heretic, really, major heretic in the church, gets thrown out of the church, and Athanasius is the one and his followers who try to put down on paper exactly what it is we're trying to say. And so this is what we have in this small print of the Creed of St. Athanasius. And if you skip down to the fourth line after the introduction, I will just quickly read some of it to you, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost, but the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal, and yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three incomprehensibles, nor three uncreated, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Ghost almighty, and yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. Welcome to our family-friendly fourth Sunday service. David's going to set that to music for later in the service. They're trying, and it is boring, isn't it? I don't get excited about Trinity Sunday when I read that. But what I do get excited about with Trinity Sunday is when I think about what it means when I think of God in this way. You know, there's throughout the centuries been different ways that people have come up with similes and metaphors, comparisons, to try to help us to get in touch with what the Trinity is. The most famous, we all know, St. Patrick and the shamrock. You got three leaves of one shamrock, three persons, one God. You've got the example of water that can be in these different forms of steam, ice, or liquid. You've got one lady who can both be grandmother, mother, and wife. All of these different ways that really do but don't completely capture it. But there is one way that I like to look at it that I think really helps me get in touch with the significance of this. God is a mystery. God is beyond us. And there is no way that we can totally comprehend what God is up to. One example that's given to explain this is the idea that we live in a three-dimensional world and God is in a dimension beyond us. So for the sake of understanding this idea, let's pretend that we don't live in a three-dimensional world anymore. We live in a two-dimensional world. God's in the third dimension. And so whenever God represents God's self to us in that third dimension, we can't get the whole picture because we just live in this flat two-dimensional world. So pretend that God had a three-dimensional letter A that God wanted to share with us in our two-dimensional world. Well, watch this little video clip that explains how we in our two-dimensional limited world are going to experience that three-dimensional letter.
And along comes the letter A in three dimensions. Mr. A wants to be known to the people in the plane, so he comes into the plane. But what happens? We who live in the plane see only two squares. Not much to go on to understand the letter A. And as much as Mr. A tries to reveal himself to us, even if Mr. A laid face down so we could discern the shape of the A, we would still not be able to understand what Mr. A's three-dimensional existence is like.
We only see the two dots. Now, in the opening prayer that I used today, one of my favorite similes for this is God as beyond us, as Father, God beside us as Jesus, God within us as the Holy Spirit. God beyond us here. We only get these snippets, these dots. What our job becomes is to find those dots as we go through our life, the ways in which God makes God's self evident to us. And the amazing thing is, the more I look for these occasions, the more I end up finding them. And in addition to that, it doesn't stop with God beyond us. You want to experience who God is, Well, then we go to God beside us with Jesus, the example we have of his life, of self-sacrificial love, that God is there as well. And it doesn't stop there. God within us, that not only do we have the ability to see God at work, we have the ability to partner with God in bringing God's presence into our world. Now, that's pretty amazing. Now I start to get a little more excited about celebrating Trinity Sunday. That there is nowhere that I can be or go that God is not already there. Nowhere. The psalmist says, "Where can I run from your love? If I climb to the heavens, you are there. If I fly to the sunrise or sail beyond the seas, still I find you there." That God is never going to abandon us. That no matter what's happening or going on in my life, God is there. The second reading that I left in today takes this to the next exciting level for me, because God doesn't cause the suffering, but when we have suffering in our lives, God can use that, with God being present, to help me to move along. That great passage from Romans, that we have suffering, and through our experience of suffering, we grow to experience endurance and we grow stronger. And growing stronger in that endurance builds our character. And our character being built up increases our hope, which is eventually what keeps us going. God is Trinity everywhere to lead us from suffering to endurance to character to hope. I ran across what I think is this great example of somebody who's experienced this. Did you see by chance the story of Emma May Colbert in the news this week? She just turned 100 years old. And she was a lifelong teacher. And she has been a runner, and she is still a runner. And for her 100th birthday, she decided that she was going to try to break the record for the 100-yard dash for people of her age group. Watch the video.
Oh, this is beautiful, and so is she. She's gone the distance in life, now on the track.
Now her retired teacher hopes to go into the record books. It's a video you have to see. WYFF News 4's Mike McCormick has it all, new at 6.
We can learn a lot from Emma May Colbert. She didn't come out here to dance or teach, but she did both.
She's a major inspiration on me because I run track and I hope to be like her when I get older.
Seventh grader Martha Cox has plenty of time to practice.
It just blew my mind.
Her inspiration is 100 years old. Emma May Colbert is a retired Spartanburg District 2 teacher. Today, the track at Chesney Middle became her classroom. This was her second dash down the lane this afternoon. Notice the bandage on her chin.
When she fell, I almost cried, and then when she got up, it made me feel 100 times better.
I think we should all be the same way she did. Every time we fall, just get back up and keep trying.
Seventh grader Eva Vaca and her classmates watched as Colbert crossed the finish line.
Some of these kids around here, they know I don't stop.
She did the 100-meter dash. In 46.79 seconds.
Oh, I feel all right. I'm not tired.
The old world record for a 100-year-old was 117 seconds.
You do not stop. Go ahead. You'll have some trials and you'll have something that get in your way, but you don't let it get you down. Get up. Go again.
She's always been known to practice what she teaches.
What an amazing testimony to these kids.
The kind of testimony Carla Horton learned from Colbert.
And she was as tough then as she is now.
In sixth grade.
Most of you got to do good, do better, and do your best.
A lesson.
Don't hang around until
somebody beat your record.
Yes.
That never gets old. Mike McCormick, WIFF News 4, Spartanburg County.
Oh, Ella Mae Colbert.
That's just wonderful, huh?
I want to be like her. Her family did have an official timing company there today.
Yeah, they'll work with Guinness World Records to certify her record.
On this Trinity Sunday, as we celebrate God being there always, I can't think of better advice for her than in Emma May's own words. You do not stop. Go ahead. You'll have some trials, but you don't let it get you down. Get up and go again. Happy Trinity Sunday.